2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to another episode of the Beat the Bookie podcast, episode 10. We've made it to double digits. I am at Alan Soslowski here with the star of the show, my friend John Alicia. How are you this morning, John?
Doing well, man. What's up?
Not much. We are back again with a Beat the Bookie podcast. We are about a week out from the Super Bowl, and that means it's media week. And we thought it was a good time to talk about media hype. I know this is something that, you know, you and I talk about offline, about sorting through the hype so it doesn't affect your bankroll. Because it is. Media has a strong, powerful influence, and I'm excited to hear you talk about it. But just really quick, and we'll come back and talk about them later, Beat the Bookie podcast is sponsored by Thrive Fantasy. Prop up, baby. They're a new prop sports betting game, which we'll come back and tell you all about midway through the podcast. So, John, media hype. What's real? What's not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot topic, not just in sports, I guess, these days, right? So in politics, that's true. In general, I mean, I guess I was anti-media before it was cool to be anti-media. I probably watch less ESPN than most anyone who, or ESPN, fine, I'm not just picking on ESPN, all of them. I watch less media and listen to less media than you would really think. I haven't watched a pregame NFL show or halftime show. I haven't watched any of that stuff in years because it's just not valuable to me. They're not going to offer me anything of value. So time's limited.
That show Inside the NFL, which used to be like the last of the good shows that you would get a little sort of inside look, is kind of like mainstream, generic, non-actionable information at this point.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's so much information out there. And what's the media's, what is the media's role? Primarily, it's supposed to inform you, and there's certainly information out there that is helpful. But what you have to be able to do, and again, this goes to whether it's politics, sports, whatever facet of the media that you are paying attention to, you have to be the one that's going to sift through all the nonsense and the opinions, and then figure out where the facts lie. We understand how it's happening in politics, and there's right-wing media, there's left-wing media, and kind of sifting through and figuring out what's true is not the easiest thing to do. In sports, it's not necessarily not everyone has a bias per se, but what we're getting is more and more opinion. And the media is in the business of entertainment, and while they may come across as they're just presenting the news, a lot of what they're presenting is opinion, because opinion sells more than the actual news. News is kind of boring. Right. Information is boring. So opinion. So you have to sift through opinion when you go through the media. So I prefer in a lot of instances not to pay any attention. So all I need to know is, listen, what are the injuries? Who's playing? Who's not playing? I don't need them, because they're going to make up narratives. And especially this week, they need to make a story for the game, because they're going to try to build up the game and build up readership. You're going to hear story. Who didn't, they're down in Miami. Who was out partying all night? Who got in trouble with the cops, And you'll hear stories. Think about through the history of, let's just talk about the Super Bowl. There'll be legendary stories of guy who missed curfew or, snuck out and then had a great Super Bowl. And then you'll hear the same story of the guy who got in trouble the night before the Super Bowl and their team lost. So they'll blame it. They'll blame the win. They'll make it a legendary story when the team wins, or he was the reason that the team lost. These are all after the fact sort of things.
What are some examples of those, either past or even this week, you've heard overhyped scenarios specifically? Was there a player that you recall that was like a classic?
There was one where, and of course they lost. It was Atlanta, and the player is eluding me now. They had a defensive back who I believe got in trouble with like a hooker or something like that. Atlanta-Denver Super Bowl.
That sounds like it might relax him a little bit.
You would think so, but I think he got in trouble with the law. I think somehow, you know, the law. There was the one with the another one. I'm going to give you all the bad ones because I remember those. The Oakland. There was the one with the Oakland against Tampa. But that was the player. It was an offensive lineman. They wanted, but he wound up not playing. So that was actually significant because now you've got an injury.
And then you have the Malcolm Butler one. I mean, that was, you know, that way he didn't play either. Bill Belichick.
Right. But here's something. But there's something that nobody in the media knew.
Right.
No one knew that was coming. Right. So we didn't know. So, you know, and I've got problems with the media. Just forget the Super Bowl. Just in general, when you look at the on a week to week basis in the NFL. How a beat writer who's there in the locker room, they're with the team every day, doesn't know that so-and-so is going, you know, this running back's going to start. You know, we'll be in the fantasy, in the fantasy world, DFS world, we'll be looking at a certain running back and, you know, he's going to be 30% owned in leagues. It happened this year with Arizona, right? With
Kenyon Drake.
Chase Edmonds had the big week and everyone was on Johnson, I believe it was that week, right?
Right. Correct.
So it happens all the time. And I don't understand how these guys are there every day. And these are guys who were there. Like I said, that's their job is to get the inside information on the team. They don't really ask these questions. So, you know, what I always tell people is how did they get their jobs in the first place? Like, I think we look to the media as if they're smarter than we are. And how did you get your job as a writer? Well, you were just a really good writer. You were probably good in English. You weren't a great...
You were good. Yeah, right.
Exactly. You know, you weren't a great football mind. You weren't a great baseball mind. They didn't ask you, like, when is the best time to sacrifice bunt the man from second to third.
They
want to make sure your punctuation is good.
You didn't take a core competency in the actual sport you're right. covering, likely. Now, there are exceptions.
Certainly exceptions. But, again, that's for you. You've got to sift through and say, all right, this guy's actually really good here. What I think happens is with people, I see this time and time again, and I've done it, still do. You've got to kind of get yourself out of that mindset. But we often think that someone else knows better than we do. I don't know what it is. It's human nature. We don't want to take responsibility a lot of things for ourselves. Good.
I think we appeal to authority a lot. You know, we're told, you know, growing up, I mean, we're both in our 40s and the news media, you know, that was the source. The New York Times was the holy grail of truth and, you know, and unbiased. And as, you know, as Twitter and the non-traditional media has become more, the traditional media is losing a grip on its control of the narrative. And again, for better or for worse, I'm not saying that they're always wrong. We're just saying they had exclusive control over that, over the messaging, the narrative. And now with Twitter out there and some great journalists on Twitter, you know, that obviously is becoming a more a looser grip, and they're doing what they can to control that narrative. And, you know, when we grow up, we think that the traditional media is, you know, we appeal to that authority, I think, is really what my overall point was.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. And I think there's something innate within us where we all want to be free. Like freedom is like a thing. We all strive for freedom, yet we're all willing to, like you said, we all want to appeal to this authority figure. We want to say, we don't want to look at within sometimes.
We're tribal at heart.
Well, you know, exactly. So we don't want to look, my whole thing in life in general is kind of look to yourself first. You know, if you're having problems, the one who could probably fix it the best is you. And then maybe family, you know, you kind of want to move from your inner circle outward beyond, you know, like the president of the United States is probably the last person on earth who's going to help my problem.
Right.
But we're more focused on that. And then as opposed to worried about fixing yourself.
I feel like I'm in an AA meeting right now. This is,
it is it kind of apropos to this because We give up authority, you know, even whether it's God, you know, where we say, well, I'm just going to listen. This is God's will. This is in God's hands, as opposed to saying, hey, I've got some say in my own life or, you know, let's take control of our lives. And I think that kind of leads to the fact that when let's get back to the sports betting aspect, a lot of us would feel better If we lose, we pass the blame off on someone else. Well, you know, he gave me the bad information. I got bad information as opposed to I made that decision. Well, the truth of the matter is you following whatever information you follow is your decision. So every decision you make is yours, even if you don't even – let's say I go to the racetrack and I don't want to handicap the races that day. So you buy the program and they've got like – you know, the so-called experts got his pick for or her pick for each and every race. And I say, you know what, today I'm just going to use their picks and I'm going to go. Now, if I win, do you think I'm going to run back and tell my friends like, hey, I was using the picks from the person in the program? No, I'm going to say, hey, absolutely I won at the track today. Like I had five winners at the track. It was unbelievable. What a great day I had. But if you lose, you're going to be like, yeah, I didn't have time to handicap and I just used the guy and he was terrible today. And because it wasn't you, but you made the decision. You might have followed someone else, but you made that call. So you have to take personal responsibility for your own actions.
Yeah, choices are like almost an itch. It's there was a philosopher, and I forget his name, and I'd heard a couple guys talking about it on a podcast, and they were saying that when you're faced with a choice, it's almost like you want to take that choice and put it on someone else, not because you think that they, you know, your deep seat is that they are an expert up, but just because, like you just said, you can then pass accountability to that decision maker for you. And, you know, it's the same thing with start sit questions. I can't tell you how many I get in the DFS Army Slack, and I'm happy to give my input, but I always input it with the caveat of a percentage basis. Like, this could go wrong. I see a lot of people say, hey, this choice is definitely it. It's a lock, you know, that's it. But you have to, you know, when you take responsibility for that and have accountability, then that's when you start probably making better decisions.
100%. I mean, and then you have to put the work in yourself.
Yeah.
So again, I think a lot of it comes with experience and how we sift through the media to figure out what's useful, what's not useful. When it comes to sports betting, really use the line. I say this all the time, but use the point spread and the lines to be your guidance. When you hear news come out and the line just doesn't move, that the news is probably all not that significant. And then you'll get better over time with understanding that this happens. All right. So when I was trading, when we were on Wall Street, most trading floors, if you've ever been on a trading floor, they've got CNBC playing in the background. And you could usually, you've got a box on your desk. If you want to actually listen to it, you can listen to it. CNBC for professional traders, people will follow someone on CNBC and take their word for it as gospel, as opposed to portrayed doing their own research.
They're portrayed as experts. I mean, and then and you know, the everyday dummy says, hey, this guy must know something. He's on TV.
Right. Hey, they didn't put me on TV, but this guy's on TV, so he must know something.
So it's why, like, do I feel that way about finance, but I don't feel that way about sports? Why?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Well, a lot of the times is because you've watched some of the people in the media actually play the sport.
Mm.
Okay, so Dan Orlovsky, I love. I think he's fantastic.
Great.
I think
Twitter
he does a great job with the his Twitter's fantastic. Does a great job breaking down the film. I love that stuff. I love the X's and O's. Right. Now, I guarantee if Dan has a pick on a game and I do, and we're sitting at a bar, like, everyone's gonna say, well, Dan knows so much more about football than you do, and he does. Like, he understands the game better than I do. But I'm sure my pick is probably going to have a better chance of winning than his pick will, because his job was to play football and break down X's and O's, not to figure out where the value is on a bet per se. So we'll watch these guys on TV and I'll see, you know, sometimes they're playing a record. They're playing against no spread.
Right. That's what I love. I always yell at the TV. My wife sits here and she laughs every time, because every time that these, you know, right before the Monday night kickoff or whatever it is, and they're picking, and they're like, who do you want? And they go down the picks and they're picking the 14-point favorite. Yeah, I think the Ravens are really going to beat the Dolphins at home. And I'm like, no. Pick that against the spread. That's the valuable information. Of course, in a vacuum, we all think the 14-point favored Ravens are going to beat the, you know, the underdog.
One of my favorites was I don't know if they even still do it. Years ago, like, they had it was an underdog only. You can only pick, like, your dog of the day on one of the maybe Fox or whatever it was. And they're picking, like, a 2-point underdog. And I'm saying, okay, You know, you pick the team that's got a 45% chance to win, as opposed to, you know, which is, I mean, if you were doing it in for money, I suppose that's the smart play. But let's, you know, let's not call them the big underdog play. You know, to me,
it's not
picky. Who's the underdog who potentially can win here? I want you to tell me about the touchdown underdog who you really like as a shot to win. But anyway, like I said, yes, you have to ask yourself now. I'm not saying don't watch these shows, don't listen to these shows, but understand why. I think ask yourself the question why. Why am I doing it? Why am I listening? Am I doing this for entertainment? Then fine, take it at face value, take it for what it is. Am I doing this because I'm trying to gain information that's going to help me in my handicapping? Okay, there may not be a lot of information in there that's going to help you, but then you need to ask yourself, am I watching the right thing? The odds are if I'm watching, Stephen A. Smith, it's not going to help me in my handicapping. If I'm watching Shannon Sharp and you know, right. Nothing in there is going to help my handicapping ability. It's just noise. If you find it entertaining, by all means, watch it.
Especially if you're talking about Stephen A. Smith and MMA. Have you seen this war?
It's him and Joe Rogan going on, yes.
Unbelievable. Now Conor McGregor jumped in also.
I just saw the headline for that now. So
yeah.
But again, sure. You know, if you want to get involved in that, and this is, you know, this is great for them, right? So this is great, but there's no utility in it. So again, I go back to the trading. If you follow stocks at all, Tesla is trading at somewhere around $560 a share right now. Right.
Like more than Ford is worth, like plus another company, right?
Yeah. I bought Tesla at about $35, $36. I don't know how many years ago. Yeah, well, that's not the end of the story. So I bought it about $35, $36. It was trading in the 40s. And at the time, there was all sorts of bad press going on about Elon Musk. This is not the Joe Rogan. So this is way before he was smoking weed on Joe Rogan.
Right.
And he was getting in a fight with the New York Times. So the Times was, everything the Times was putting out was negative. And I just said, you know, I'm getting out of the stock. Like, I don't know the guy, you know, it was just so much bad press. And sure enough, so I got out of the stock in the 40s. And like I said, it's trading in the 560s right now. So just an awful trade because I was, you know, I was following the media and not sticking to my guns. And the original reason I purchased, purchase, I didn't ask myself why. Why am I doing this? Did the fundamentals change? Did nothing really changed except my fear of what was going on in the media and all these talks that were going on. So you have to really ask yourself the question, why? I think why is a really important question in general in life. Ask yourself more why questions.
Yeah, and in post, as you're dissecting what actually happened in that specific situation, of course, who supports the mainstream media? It's Ford, it's General Motors, it's, you know, and they're obviously going to have an influence on how a mainstream media newspaper covers a competitor. Whether we like it or not, that's it, you know, and I don't have any proof of that, but it just seems like, why do you think they're having negative stories about them and who's actually supporting them commercially? And, you know, it's a reasonable take. And I think that circles back to what we did on our podcast last week with hedging. Why did you originally make the bet and, you know, why hedging is a non-optimal play? At this time, we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about our sponsor for the day, Thrive Fantasy. And John, this is a sports prop betting game. They have what I think is one of the coolest taglines to prop up. And what you do when you go over to Thrive Fantasy is you want to download their app, okay? And they have eliminated the need for countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top-tier athletes in the respective sport. You're going to choose 10 out of 20 player props to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on the likelihood it is to occur. The more fantasy points it's worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has over $20,000 guaranteed in prizes weekly with contests in the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, and now esports too. So I would urge all of our listeners to go over and download the Thrive Fantasy app and put in code DFS Army, and they'll match your deposit up to $20. Try it out. It's a lot of fun, especially with the Super Bowl. They have a lot of great props over there. And I know you just signed up and you're getting ready to dig in. And I want to hear your analysis once you do get into it of what the best props are. Maybe we'll come on here and give a few recommendations as well later in the week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. I was away last week. I signed up last week, but I was, as I mentioned, I was on a cruise last week. So didn't get too much of an opportunity to get in there, but I'll definitely be playing the Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to testing it out.
Yeah, I love prop betting.
Trying it. Yeah, I'm going to be doing a whole thing on prop bets also over at Beat the Bookie, and so I'll be giving a list of the props that I like for the Super Bowl and all that.
Cool.
So
yeah, and if
it'll
you want,
tie right in.
And if you want to hear John's, if you want to get John's picks, if you want to have hear more discussions like this and get into our Slack chat, I urge you to sign up at Beat the Bookie. You just go to dfsarmy.com/beat-the-bookie. We are working on getting a better URL, guys. Don't worry about it. I've heard some of the feedback. Sportsbet Army is being crafted as we speak with all these great tools. But right now, come on over to dfsarmy.com/beat-the-bookie with the hyphens in between Beat the Bookie and use promo code BTB, Beat the Bookie, and we'll give you 20% off for life. Or DM us on Twitter at DFS Army, and we will tell you how you can get 2 free months of Beat the Bookie by making a deposit in one of our affiliated sports books, and we'll get you all set up. All right, John, back to the action here. We're talking about media hype. With about 10 minutes left to go in this conversation, I think you've made some really great points. Is there anything else that you said fade the hype, basically, is the message I'm getting from you. But isn't that in itself an actionable thing to do? Listening to the hype, seeing where the public might go with it, and then using that to your advantage.
Yeah, in some aspects, sure. So you do want to have your finger a little bit on the pulse of where all the hype is. Oftentimes, that's going to lead you to value on the other side. It's part of the reason why, in general, if you're building models, you're going to have a predominant amount of underdogs, because favorites tend to be the more overhyped. People don't hype up underdogs as much as they hype favorites. So yes, you're right in that aspect. But what I get more concerned with is people falling in, again, following the hype. So not necessarily, you're not going to just say, well, okay, they're hyping such and such a team, I'm going to fade it. You need to have some reason behind that. But what I worry about is the people who have their opinion swayed. They've got their numbers. Let's just take the Super Bowl, for instance. Do you really need to watch any bit or read anything about, like, nothing is going to come out this week. Andy Reid's not going to tell you what his game plan is this week.
Right.
He's not going to give you any information as to anything. You've watched Kansas City now play 19 games or 18 games, whatever they've played this, 18 games, right? They played 18 games this year. You've likely watched most of them. I've seen them all, right? I've seen all the San Francisco games. There's nothing that, at least I don't know, obviously we're not clairvoyant, but there's no surprises there. There's nothing the media is going to tell me that I don't already know about those two teams. Now, who you like is up to you, but these stories are, if it's entertainment for you, that's fine, like I said. So I just want to go back to that whole ask why. I think the why thing, I think this is a good kind of life lesson as well. Like, in everything you do, ask yourself, why are you doing it? Is there a purpose behind it? Could I be doing something else that's more productive?
The answer is, for me, it's usually yes. I'm usually wasting time doing something.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. We all rather waste time than actually do something productive. But how good does it feel when you actually do something productive?
I honestly, if I'm being honest, it's like I only feel full when I am being productive. When I'm sitting down, sure, I do allow myself to have a break and watch Netflix. But for the most part, and I think most people feel this way, unless you're creating, you don't feel optimally full emotionally and spiritually.
It's 100%. Take a Sunday and go out on a Saturday night, get totally hammered, and then like you just can't function on a Sunday, and then you spend the entire day in bed.
Depressing.
It's very depressing, and like you just don't feel like you were being productive. Just cleaning the dishes, if you have a dirty sink,
right,
and like just cleaning the dishes makes you feel better. You're like, oh man, that feels good. Like I got the dishes.
Just cleaning yourself.
Taking a shower. Like just right, getting anything done, like just taking care of your errands on a Saturday or whatever it is,
Yeah, it's
most
amazing.
Of us, you have a job, you're kind of forced to get up, get in there at 9 a.m., get out at 5, you're forced to do those things. To me, it's when you have your free, what are you doing on your free time? Are you bettering yourself? Are you doing anything like that? I'm not saying don't sit and watch Netflix and don't do those things, but ask yourself, why am I doing it? So am I watching Netflix because, you know what, I got X, Y, and Z done today, and now, you know what, I'm going to have a little me time and I'm going to watch a little Netflix? By all means. Ask yourself, you know, if it's noon, you haven't gotten anything done yet, and you're flipping Netflix on and you say, all right, why am I doing this? And your answer is, well, I'm lazy. All right, that might trigger something in your head and say,
right,
maybe I shouldn't be lazy. Say, you know, I want you to do that here. Why am I watching ESPN? Am I watching it because I'm just killing time and I have nothing else to do? Am I watching it because I'm looking for some specific information here that's going to help me? I'm looking for some injury reports. I'm looking for, okay, fine. So ask yourself the why, and oftentimes that's going to lead you to get out of what it is that you're doing and get into something that's more productive, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you've got an idea, a handicap. I come up with ideas all the time. Often they just don't pan out. But, you know, I'm watching a game or I'm in the car and I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? I've got a theory on something. Like you were talking earlier about defenses in the Super Bowl. You're like, you know, I've just noticed, you know, and it's sort of anecdotal that the better defenses seem to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when you have like an elite level defense, or, you know, I'm not talking about an all time, but a defense right. that has dominated all season long, that's healthy, that's peaking now, usually, and there's many examples of it, that they will have, for some reason, have a better Super Bowl versus the elite offense, which is in this case Kansas City. It's a good, you know,
but you don't know. Other than anecdotally, like you're thinking back and you're like, okay, I can name 5 Super Bowls where I remember that to be true. Mm-hmm. But you've got that theory. It's a hypothesis. And again, I use the word hypothesis because what you need to now do is, like a scientist, go out and test that hypothesis. So you need to go back and do some research and say, is what I saw actually true? Like, were these, you know, and you very well might be right, but I'll do that all the time. I'll come up with a hypothesis in my head. And then I say, well, now I got to do the work and I got to do the research and say, you know what? I'm right here. Or I'll find I was totally wrong. And which is a good thing to know as well. Maybe it's the opposite of what I was thinking. So again, you can say, all right, I've got these ideas. They're coming to me. I'm in the car. I'm driving. I've got an idea about a certain angle I want to look at in whatever sport. And then I'm going to go watch ESPN, or I'm going to watch, like, that doesn't make sense. So if I ask myself, why am I doing this now? And I'm like, well, just because I don't really want to put the work in. Like, be honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself as to why you're doing something, why am I watching this? You know, why am I watching Shannon Sharp and with a Skip Bayless?
And Skip.
Or what, you know, like, am I getting anything out of this? Why is this making me better? Is this improving my handicapping abilities? Is it improving me as a person? And if the answer is no, then and if you're being honest with yourself, the answer is likely no.
Yeah.
You're going to start to find that you're going to want to do something a little bit more productive. You're going to want to get onto maybe get on the internet and start doing some research, looking at statistics. You had an idea and you're just not, you know, you have this idea in your head and you're going to keep it as an idea because you don't want to put the work in to necessarily confirm that your idea is correct or find out that you're incorrect. It's just so much easier to say, you know, to have these conversations with your buddy and say, yeah, you know, I think this and I think that. Or it wouldn't be a lot cooler to say, all right, I put in a lot of work here. I did the research. I found this website. I found an article that goes into this topic, or I found, you know, a research paper, whatever the case is.
And the beauty is that if you don't feel like doing that, we do it for you over at Beat the Bookie, which
that's
is
what
great.
I'm doing.
You could. Yeah, I mean, in anything in life, you're trading time for money. Right now, you could throw money at the problem, you know, in the form of a subscription fee, and we will do that for you. John, I think that's a great place to wrap it up. I think that people will take a lot from this free podcast of Beat the Bookie, Fading the Media Hype. John just did an excellent breakdown of what you should be looking for and fading as far as media hype. Is it entertainment? Are you believing what they are trying to, what media is putting out there? So re-listen to this a couple times. I think this was an interesting thing for me because I found myself nodding a lot while you were talking because, like, oh, shit, I do that, you know, and I want to try to fix those leaks in my game. So that is a really smart point. All right. Join us over at Beat the Bookie by signing up at dfsarmy.com. Click the upper right-hand corner, Beat the Bookie, and use promo code BTB, that's Beat the Bookie, for 20% off. I'm sitting here with at StatStational on Twitter, and I am at Alan Sislowski. John, we'll be back next week with another episode. And remember, folks, our sponsor today is Thrive Fantasy App. Go check them out, and we'll be talking a little bit more about them. Or go to the DFS Army podcast library on either on your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts or whatever, or on YouTube and download. We did a full Super Bowl breakdown with our own cash keg of Thrive Fantasy. John, anything else to give to people before we go, or we've covered it all?
I think we've covered it all for today.
Yeah, and you've given them a free psychology session as well.
That's part of what it's part of what I like about Beat the Bookie is it's not just the and this podcast. Anyone could just sit here and tell you that they like San Francisco or Kansas City next week. I think what you're going to get more out of is hopefully some of the experiences I've had in sports betting and in trading, and a lot of that is psychological. So hopefully I can give some help.
No, that definitely comes through, because like I said, this is one of my favorite half hours of the week. I get to listen to you. I mean, I can listen to you talk all day. You know, I'm a super fan. I'm a fanboy of yours. So that's why I'm happy to give this podcast out to the people for free. Come visit us over at Beat the Bookie, everyone, and we'll see you next week with another episode.